time for more movie thoughts, reviews, and royal commentary from Richard Fitzwilliams and Natasha Wanton on the Midweek Drive.
Oh my God, you're such a good writer.
Oh, it's not me, it's Edgar.
Who the hell is Edgar?
There's a ghost in my body and he is a lyricist. It is Edgar Allan Poe and I think he can resist. Yeah, his brain is in my hand and it's moving really fast. Don't know how he possessed me, but I'm happy that he did. Cause this song is feeling special and he's gonna make me rich. Yeah, the words are spilling out.
Solicited a confession with nothing more than a piercing look.
With enough patience, a suspect will often interrogate himself.
Detective Landor, one of our cadets, hanged himself last night.
That's a matter for the coroner.
I'm afraid that's not the end of it. His heart was carved from his chest.
What type of fella could do this?
It'd have to be
a madman.
Need you to decipher this.
Rumor has it they're instructions for immortality.
Someone there?
Another cadet is missing.
Poe, I need you to discreetly infiltrate the cadets.
What is this?
Blood, symbols, rituals.
Oh, my Lord.
Man will do most anything to cheat death.
Where are the facts? Where are the simple facts? The truth!
I believe the dead haunt us because we love them too little.
We're no closer to finding who's responsible for this than we were a month ago!
We are closer. It's only a matter of time.
Shh.
chilly, isn't it? Well, it is May, of course. What better time to actually watch the pale blue eye? And what an opportunity to actually encounter the sheer joy and wonderment of so many English actors taking American roles. I mean, you've got a whole array. You've got Timothy Spall. You've got, obviously, Christian Bale. You've got a whole heap of things. And let's not forget, of course, the absolutely wondrous performance as Pepe René, of Robert Duvall. I think underrated in terms of the pale blue eye, but will Richard Fitzwilliams give Pale Blue Eye anything more than 7 out of 10? I suspect not. Nevertheless, it's probably going to be much, much higher than the joys of his views of the book club. Richard, over to yourself.
Well, Alex, firstly, I must protest against you giving a mark that I was going to give so early in the programme.
Spoilers!
Spoilers would be a pity with the pale blue eye. I mean, it's very unusual. It's set in the West Point Military Academy in 1830, and director Scott Cooper has made an extraordinary, well, it's an extraordinary mix in this movie, because Augustus Landor is a retired detective. He's an alcoholic, and he's a really rather strange character, as we discover. He's invited by West Point to investigate the hanging of a student, Leroy Fry. And, well, Augustus is a widower. He lives alone, and he's been melancholy after the disappearance of his daughter, Mattie. Now, this is a macabre death because the heart of the student was removed. And this was after he was killed, so obviously it's pointing to some sort of ritual or rite. Indeed, some very, very strange things are going on. Not only does Landor discover the fragment of a note in Fry's hand, this strongly suggests he was murdered, but also he secretly enlists the help of another cadet who was at the academy, Edgar Allan Poe, the goth writer of Gothic tales, played by Henry Melling. And he asks Sam to do a bit of detective work. And when two animals are slaughtered and also mutilated, that points to weird goings-on, black magic possibly. And then another cadet is hung, heart and genitals removed, and a third disappears. So really, it's not a very happy state. I have to say that as certain individuals come under suspicion, you discover the most extraordinary things are, in fact, going on. What about Dr. Daniel Marquis, played by another British actor, Toby Jones, and his son Artemis and daughter Leah? And what about the crush that Edgar Allan Poe has for Leah?
Edgar Allan Poe actually married his 13-year-old cousin. So, you know, these things happen.
Too much happens, I say, in this movie. I mean, normally with a film, I tend to find it's either good most of the way through or pretty well.
Very chilly, Richard. Lots of indoor scenes with winds gusting through the whole thing. It's a very chilly movie.
Lots of snow, lots of ice. Quite a dark film in every sense of the word, because, of course, you're looking at the realism that candles bring to scenes. It can be the succession of scenes in very darkly filmed, but of course it was like that at the time. I have to say that when I was starting to give up on this film about halfway through, or slightly more than halfway through, when the most...
Richard, you cannot give up on this wonderful work of art, sir. I resent that implication that you would even begin to give up on this fantastic Edgar Allan Poe tribute that we are seeing before us.
Well, I have to say, Alex, in the spirit of your commentary, parts of this movie get really rather strange. If we consider, for example, a scene where you have black ravens circling over the snow. You have an individual with the top hat wandering into the mist. Now, can you imagine that there's not going to be some form of, some weird occurrence? tyrants. Of course there is. And indeed, when this particular character gets beaten up, and this is time-honoured cinematic tradition that goes back to the 1920s, 30s, etc., except in those days they really didn't care, whereas these days we should be a bit more sophisticated. Somebody gets beaten up to an inch of his life, and then the next day he hasn't got a scratch. I mean, So I was starting to give up and thinking, you know, this really is, I'm not giving any spoilers away, but it becomes so convoluted as the net closes in on, it could be the doctor and his family and strange things could be happening. And then maybe
it couldn't possibly be Augustin Landor, surely.
Alex, all I can say is that everyone is under suspicion, including Timothy Spall, who you spotted as the rather sclerotic looking. In fact, he looked far too constipated throughout the movie as a superintendent. And Simon McBurney, who's also a good actor, yes, he puts in an appearance. There's Gillian Anderson, there's Lucy Boynton. Oh, yes.
Or Mrs. Thatcher.
And Henry Melling, I have to say, puts in a pretty good turn as Edgar Allan Poe, although, as I say, the movie takes liberties with everything. And by the time, something like two-thirds of the way, or just over half the way anyway, that I was thinking, it's just it promising, fascinating visuals from time to time, interesting plot, but it really has gone far, far too far for me. Then it swings back, and there is indeed another twist, and it becomes fascinating. So with all its ups and downs, yes, I would sort of settle around the 7 mark, because it's an unusual movie, 19th century period movie. It's got a famous author played, I thought, rather well. Christian Bale does his stuff. It's not that much on that difficult for him to do. Toby Jones, nice little cameo, as we tend to expect. I mean, it's a very unusual film. And yes, if I had to choose between this and Book Club, the next chapter, Alex, I'm amazed that you got that right, that I choose.
Oh, well, let's just hold it there, if we may, because you haven't even mentioned Harry Melling, of course, from the Harry Potter franchise.
I've met him twice.
Indeed. But he's also the grandson of the second Doctor, Patrick Troughton, which is, you know, cinematic royalty in so many ways. Kathy Manso, as an American who likes to obviously engage in having more British actors taking on board the work of American actors, what would you say about this particular number? Is it a case of, look, I've just got back from Ukraine, what do you expect me to do? Watch Netflix and The Pale Blue Eye, or just chill out?
First of all, where did you get your training from, Alex? Where'd that American accent come from? I think the people need to know. Is it me? Have you been hanging out with me? Because I don't sound like that. I don't.
I can only cite my Lambda experience, which Ms. Huntley will be able to confirm in years to come.
But yeah, I am excited to see this. When I have time, as you pointed out, I've been a little busy. But yes, I'm interested. I always find it entertaining to watch actors I know with different accents, because sometimes I really do think they do a really good job. But I don't know, Alex, I don't know if you've convinced me with your accent. I'm a little concerned, but I do enjoy Edgar Allan Poe stories, and I don't think we talk about him enough, so why not?
Especially as he married his 13-year-old cousin. But that's Edgar for you.
It's so much weirder than that. That's like the tip of the iceberg.
It is the tip of the iceberg. Exactly. You know, Mr. Poe had his other. Why do you think we actually launched this sequence with the Austrian entry to Eurovision? Who the hell is Edgar Allan Poe? You know, exactly.
And I think they were robbed. They were robbed.
Clearly, finishing mid-table was just a shocking a breakdown in the whole thing. Sarah Huntley, welcome back after your marking strategies and various other end-of-term scenarios. What are your thoughts on this one? Is it a thing that you're looking to investigate further in a kind of Augustin Landau way? Or will you simply be saying, no, I'll step away from that and focus on anything that's got Toby Jones in it?
Well, I just think I have to go and say it because of the accents to start with. But, I do rather like Toby Jones as an actor. So Although it's only on the one hand, on the other hand, on the one hand, on the other hand. So Richards give it a 7. Not so good. But then Toby Jones is, I can't imagine, would commit to doing something that he thought wasn't worthwhile. I'm intrigued by the Edgar Allan Poe story. I have to confess, I knew he had a bit of a strange life, but I wasn't entirely sure, you know, so that's intriguing in itself. I think as long as they've got it right historically, that irritates me when it all gets a bit silly with the his, you know, but if it's got the thumbs up from Richard on that, then yes, I think it's one of those that actually everyone's given their own viewpoint and everyone listening will think, I need to go and source it for myself. So I think that's what you've all done. I think I will go and see this. Yes, yes.
Well, allowing for the fact that unless he's back home with his parents, he could only actually access streaming services by actually calling on the kindness of strangers, in particular Mary Cook. Oliver Stanley, any thoughts on this one? Have you seen it as yet? Is The Pale Blue Eye something that you think, yeah, I think I should actually investigate that?
Definitely something I'm going to be investigating. From what little I've managed to hear, due to my horrible loading times, meaning I arrived quite late at the course.
As long as you get a fragment of the conversation, you can expand that fragment to a whole new field. Natasha Wanton, has this reached the joys of Australia as yet? Or is it a case of, I've been scuba diving, I've passed my scuba diving certificate, I can now comfortably swim in the sea, so all's well?
I love this one. I'm surprised Richard didn't score this. I can see why Richard didn't score this one higher, but I am surprised. I'm surprised he didn't. I really, really enjoyed this. There were some errors. Like there was, I completely understand what Richard was saying in terms of the pacing about 2/3 of the way in. It did start to start. You started to think like, oh, this is all going kind of a little bit all over the place. Where is it going to go? But as he said, I think it definitely made up for it for me with the ending. It was starting to drop a couple of marks in the middle, but then it kind of really reclaimed everything again. Can we talk about Melling? Melling's Poe was, oh my goodness. I loved Melling as Poe. It was just that right amount of eccentric and sort of eerie, airy. It was really good. I really enjoyed this representation. He made this film for me. He was very believable. I personally found him a very, like, sort of, for me, he represented the spirit of Poe very well. I thought he did him a really good job. It was a bit dark in places, as Richard was saying. The lighting was a little bit tricky in some of the areas of this one. Yes, it's a bit ooky kooky. I don't always do ooky kooky. I was a bit worried going into this, but it wasn't in a way where I think I'm going to get nightmares. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't in a way where I'm going to be walking around with all the lights on in my house. So if you're not
falling backwards into a river.
Exactly. I'm not I'm not going to be worried on this one because I thought they crafted it so I thought they crafted it so well. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 9. I'm going to go for a 9 with this one, guys. I really, really like this one. I like the suspense. It gave me, the start of it especially made me think a little bit of a film that I particularly enjoyed, the first Sherlock Holmes movie a little bit, but less of Robert Downey Jr. kind of kookiness. I suppose that's where Melling comes into a little bit, but the start of it reminded me a little bit of that, but it goes away from that. It does sort of transverse and go a little bit away from that. But no, if you really like the mystery kind of element of it, it fooled me. It did fool me. So, no, I really recommend everyone going to watch this.
There was a sense, actually.
Natasha, I've been striving, and I'm glad that you've been striving to avoid any spoilers. Can you imagine Alex striving in the same way?
Well, of course. I mean, although I'd say that, in essence, you do feel as though you've got 20 to 25 minutes still to go when the solution has apparently been solved, but it hasn't. So there we are. As I say, don't go and see this if you're worried about draft excluders, because clearly every household that's actually seen there demonstrates the essential need in the 19th century for draft excluders, particularly when it's winter in the southern states, West Point and so on of America and so on. Okay, so Oliver, are you a keen sugar follower? Do you like sugar? Do you like sweets?
Yes, despite my attempt to avoid it.
Mm. Natasha, are you a keen, passionate follower of sugar and processed chocolate and such like?
I do like a little bit. I can't have much, but I do like a little bit, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially the red ones.
Yeah. Sarah Huntley, are you also a keen sort of follower of in a sense, high E-numbered factors candy, as we'd say?
I'm terribly naughty with that, yes. I have to say, that and wine is awful. I'd rather sometimes just have some lovely chocolate and a black coffee for lunch than anything else. Yeah.
Chocolate and wine. And Kathy Manso, I know you make your own candy in many ways, but is this something which you're keen on actually going for candy or chocolate? Do you like that particular dietary... I'd say treat, but as we all know, treat can stand for terrible results eating all that sugar. But nevertheless, Kathy, are you a sort of sugar-holic?
I'm more savory than sweet, if I'm being honest with myself, but I do love a chocolate chip cookie. I'll never say no to a chocolate chip cookie.
This is excellent. Well, if you like that sweetness, you love Book Club 2 because it's completely packed full of sweetness and solidness, etc. And before Richard actually goes into this exploration of the fantastic world of Bergman and Steenbergen and Fonda and so many more, including Don Johnson, the other keen question is, Kathy, did you see Book Club 1 pre-pandemic 2018?
I'll be honest, I did not. I did not see Book Club 1.
A tale of these wonderful four characters, in many ways the golden girls for the 2020s, or indeed the 21st century, seeing how their lives are impacted by having, as a topic for their book club, 50 Shades of Grey. Sarah Huntley, have you seen Book Club 1?
Well, no, I haven't. I'm just laughing to myself and everybody listening. I'd love to put you and Richard in a room together and watch this together. Wow. So I'd love to put you and Alex in a room together and watch this, and we could view you watching this because the comments would be hilarious.
I would pay money. Sure. I would pay money for this.
It would be a film in itself watching you two watch this.
It's a watch along scenario, but still.
I'm quite fascinated by it, and I'll tell you for why. I'm not going off, but rambling. Being an actress of a certain age and of this age, and as we all know, as you keep flipping,
you
telling
are a lot younger than Jane
about
Fonda,
to be 60
Sarah.
On the 6th of June. I'm just wondering whether there's a kind of uniform which women have to start having, like certain highlighted hair, a certain level of slimness with the figure. And I went to the Orange Tree Theatre at Richmond yesterday to see the matinee, and I went, because I'm now liberated from Lambda for a while. And I just thought, gosh, it's very interesting looking at women of a certain age, what they conform to and what they don't. And I think what's interesting is you could see everyone in that Richmond foyer about to go in was thinking, well, my eyes are still good, or my figure's all right, but I'm having a swoopy dress to cover the bottom, you know, and all that kind of thing. So I imagine this film is a bit like this.
If you wish to actually see the... flip side of the wondrousness of Best Marigold Hotel. If you like Best Marigold Hotel, you might sort of see Best Marigold Hotel as being like the equivalent to the Citizen Kane when compared to...
Well, absolutely.
Example.
So I suppose my point to everyone listening is, will it be a film that I will associate with being of a similar age, or will it be one that I think, oh, come off it, don't be so ridiculous, life's not like that?
It can be if it's filmed by the Tourist Board of Italy when you go overseas and connect with the whole side of things there.
Now it's a mambo, mambo Italiano, a mambo.
Hello, you've reached the home of the retired and gifted.
Where are you?
I'm in a church.
What? Are you serious?
We're looking for a venue for the wedding.
You're going to get married in a church?
I'm shocked you didn't burst into flames as you crossed the threshold.
To Viv and Arthur.
Oh, thank you.
I think we should all go to Italy.
Italy?
Whoa.
We'll make it Viv's bachelorette.
A bachelorette trip? What are we doing?
I think it's very romantic.
But it's also nuts.
Now it's a mambo. Mambo Italiano, mambo.
Rome is a great walking city.
Belle donne, le viti più vecchie danno l'uva più dolce.
What did he say?
The older the vines, the sweeter the fruit.
Oh, yes, we still got it.
I'm delighted that you'll be joining us tonight.
There's no problem if four random women show up.
This is Italy. There's always room for random, beautiful women.
Gianni!
Who is Gianni?
What are you doing here?
This is my cooking school.
Wow.
I'm here to start the animal's bush.
I think somebody's bush is already quite amused.
It's too bridal.
It's not bridal enough.
Gorgeous. Someone else next.
Don't move. What are you doing?
That would be me. We're best friends for 50 years.
And you?
Married. Marriage. My solo act is finally coming to a close.
You're the bravest person I know. The only question is, how will we mess this all up?
I can't wait to find out.
Is it too soon to talk about who we're gonna eat first?
I think we all know.
Hey.
How does a woman in her 70s end up getting married? She takes control of her own destiny.
This is a bachelorette party. You know what that means?
We go see naked men. What's the protocol here? Where do I stuff the dollar bills?
Oliver, again, from your own perspective, is this something which you think, yeah, I think I should. I mean, I book club one, I might have caught, so book club two, when they head overseas, definitely for me.
No. No, really.
Okay.
It's a very different world to mine currently, but yeah, I watched.
Well, you know, we'll have the whole cast singing their song right now.
For sunsets on a Roman patio, hop a train and say hello to Michelangelo. Spin the globe, put your finger down, I'll pick you up, let's go.
Float at Mardi Gras just to see you smile.
Tell me where you wanna go.
Train or plane, sun or snow. Life's too short for saying no.
I would go anywhere with you, from Tokyo all the way to Timbuktu. Just let me pack, I got your back through all the thick and thin. Our dandelion dreams are out there blowing in the wind. My friends, I would go.
Seat right next to you.
Punch my ticket, count me in. Dance till dawn with all my friends. Read the book right to the end.
Hey, hey, hey! I would go anywhere with you. From Tokyo all the way to Timbuktu. Just let me pack, I got your back through all the thick and thin. Our dandelion dreams are out there blowing in the wind. My friends, I would go anywhere.
Natasha Wanton, from your own perspective, Jane Fonda, Mary Steenburgen, so many wonderful, fine folk that we've actually got within the sequence, which I know Richard will be waxing over and waxing lyrical over in a few moments. But in terms of book club, the next chapter to actually give it its full line, etc. Diane Keaton, let's not forget Diane Keaton, heaven's sake, is this one for you?
Well, I haven't seen the original. I'm guessing Rich is about to tell me that I probably need to see the first one before I see the second one. Oh no, he's shaking his head. Oh, that's always helpful. I hate it when you have to see a load of movies in a row before you can go and see one. So that's probably put me in a better disposition to go and see it. Look, it looks fun. It looks like it's a good laugh.
You don't have to go and see the first chapter before you see the next chapter. I suspect Richard might be going for a 4 out of 10 for this, but Richard, over to you. Or is it too much sugar?
Well, I mean, you're tempted, as it were, with this movie, and I had the greatest difficulty in remembering parts of it, I have to say. Regarding the first one, yes, I think I saw it.
It's 2018, Richard. We've had a pandemic since then.
Yes, I know we have. And indeed, picks up after the pandemic, because the four women of a certain age, all played by top actresses, want to get on with life. And also, of course, they've got directed by Bill Holderman. This gives this romantic comedy a chance of helping the Italian tourist board, because we see a lot of very attractive shots of Italy, including Florence and Tuscany. And
lots of gondolas, Richard. Lots of gondolas.
Rome, Venice, yes, and Tuscany, apologies to Florence.
And hard marble statues of Michelangelo.
Indeed so. And one has to say, for the people who go and see this movie, it probably produces what they want to see. If you don't like this sort of, shall we say, very light romantic comedy with endless saucy jokes, and who ends up with which guy and so forth, well, I mean, you wouldn't go, or probably wouldn't go anywhere near it. I do have to say Jane Fonda at 85 is quite extraordinary. I mean, thinking back, honestly, 50 years as she played a prostitute in Clute, and
Barbarella.
She was indeed in Barbarella, but Clute was a serious movie set in New York where a prostitute is stalked by a psycho, and it was a brilliant, I mean, the music, the urban environment, and Donald Sutherland and Fonda's chemistry superb. Bearing that in mind, you know, with all her workouts and so on, she does look absolutely fantastic. We have Candice Bergen as Sharon, Diane Keaton as Diane, Mary Steenburgen as Carol, and, they decide post-COVID they're going to have their trips to Italy. Now, do they need something minor such as luggage? What if the luggage is stolen?
Stolen, Richard, it is.
If anyone, Alex, is looking for any logic or any sort of plot that makes any sense in this movie, I mean, they mustn't go anywhere near it. I mean, that actor who used to, had a certain je ne sais quoi, Giancarlo Giannini, is actually playing a doddering inspector in this. And really, I mean, if this is his last performance, and it might very well be, it would not be what he would wish to be remembered for. Does it greatly matter that who ends up with whom? Jane Fonda's character is indeed engaged to Arthur, played by Don Johnson. And could it be that something could be arranged as a surprise when they actually make Italy? Well, there's Hugh Quashie, who I have to say has some extremely good diction. And, well, he links up with Sharon, played by Candice Bergen. Then there's Andy Garcia, Craig T. Nelson as Bruce. And Andy Garcia is a character who's also has perhaps an interesting future. So you've got the guys, you've got the ladies of a certain age, you've got a series, one ridiculous scenario is followed by another. It's all very colourful. It's all very cheerful. If this is the sort of thing that you
It's sugary. It's sugary sweet, Richard. It's like candy, and you have more and more of it, and then you end up realising that it makes Best Exotic Marigold Hotel seem like a Citizen Kane compared to this.
Well, I have to say that I wasn't a great fan of the exotic Marigold Hotel. And frankly, I do find it quite difficult to remember a lot of this. And I saw it pretty recently. But
then you need to see it again, Richard, and again, until it actually embeds itself into the cranial capacities.
That would be for too demanding and too cruel, Alex. But on the other hand, if you give this movie marks. One is 7 or 8 for the fans who are going to enjoy it and are going to go and enjoy risque jokes. The numbers of jokes about balls is, I mean, it's
meaty balls, sport. Richard. Meaty balls.
Indeed, yes, indeed. And I mean, it's that sort of movie, colourful, nonsensical, fantasy style, as they go from place to place and have their adventures with various guys who pop up or not, as the case may be. It is what it is. And from that point of view, I mean, I'd give it about 5 myself. It wasn't a great strain to sit through, but it didn't exactly stretch the intellect. And yes, I would agree with Natasha about Henry Melling. If he had appeared in this movie, I think he'd have given it a whole new dimension. But unfortunately, this is not in the 19th century. It's in our own time. And, well, there's no point in complaining that it's got an endless series of childishness and a load of nonsense from time to time. It does show some top-class actresses are certainly thinking back on what they've given us on the screen, and they have a lot of fun, and those who go and see this movie will have a lot of fun, but those who go and see it under any form of duress will probably have... Well, they'll have a holiday of hell, I'm afraid.
The first movie, budget of $14 million, made $140 million. You know, we're looking at a huge success here, and it's the tale of four best friends who take their book club to Italy for the fun girls' trip they never had. Sarah, it could almost be, you know, projecting ahead 30 years for your good self. What are you looking for from this thing? Is this one for you?
I think this is dangerously close to me, because I'm going to... Sicily on June. So I didn't even realise the plot and I'm already doing it. Perhaps I need to pull back and bring out my inner Medea, possibly. But I think that maybe I totally get what Richard is saying. And poor Oliver, it would be a nightmare for you to be going to see this. Menopausal women trying to be younger and relive their youth. I mean, it's like if you put the ironing to do and you put a place in the sun on, I think it's that. Maybe if Bill Nye had been in it, it would have given it extra depth, you see. I think he manages to pull these things off.
Well, not Don Johnson, from Miami Vice.
I mean, if comedy hasn't got pathos, I love comedy with pathos. That's my big thing. I'd do that to the day I died. So if it's a bit cheesy or sweet, as you say, but I think, as you say, look at what profit it's bringing in. There'll be a certain type of lady, woman, that will just love it. And they'll all be queuing up with their friends, you know.
Possibly Wimbledon, non-gendered specific individuals as well.
Yeah. But just the fact that I'm going to Sicily doesn't mean quite I'm in the bracket of this type of person, actually. I do have a bit more to me than that, yes. But I think I might go and see it.
Kathy Manso, something for yourself? Strong female characters, off to have fun and crack lots of sexist jokes at the expense of the male?
Yeah, I like films like this. I mean, it could be cheesy or overly sweet, as you say, but sometimes you kind of need something like that just to switch it up. And especially if it's a bonding film, I can imagine doing this with my mom and my sister just to kind of have fun with each other. You know, my mom will love this. So we'll have, you know, I think it's something that brings people together, especially female friendships.
It offsets the angst of the pale blue eye very effectively. And indeed, for those people who are hankering after the Golden Girls TV series of the 90s, clearly it's been brought back to life for the big screen with new characters. Natasha, is this something which you think, yes, actually, this is superb. This is the sort of thing which only needs a bit of Rebel Wilson in there to actually add even more quality to the essence?
The audience can't see my face grimacing at that, but I was grimacing quite strongly. look, I like movies that are fun and don't take themselves too seriously. I absolutely adored The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, but it broke me. And I think that's the difference. I think what that had from compared to what I'm hearing from this, is that it had those really beautiful, really meaningful, really subtle moments as well that were lovely and juicy and, oh, I cried so much. So I think that's the difference here, whereas this one seems to be too much, as you say, sweet, too much sweet, too fluffy. And I'm not saying that too fluffy is bad. I like fun movies, but I also need there to be some sort of substance in it. Otherwise, I'm probably going to lose interest very quickly. You've got gondolas. It might be one for an aeroplane.
You've got lots of gondolas in Venice.
I'm salty about gondolas in Venice. Don't get me started on gondolas in Venice. My husband still owes me a gondola ride that where he wasn't trying to vomit over the side. I think it's one of those ones I'm going to probably watch on a plane. If I have nothing else to watch, it's going to be one of those scenarios, I think. We'll see.
So a movie to enhance your carbon footprint with. Oliver Stanley, you've heard the team. Is it a case of, that's it, I'm sold, I'm buying my ticket to the cinema now?
Well, I do have to say as well, I did adore Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Both of them fantastic films. But for this one, it does seem to be, I think it's more reflective on me that I'm more likely to enjoy a film that reflects on the inevitability of death than one that says, let's be 30 again.
Like Pale Blue Eye.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Indeed, the music of Pale Blue Eye by Howard Shore, also worthy of note. So there we have it. I think it's sort of summed up a dynamic duo, a kind of basic two-header of melancholy on the one hand, deep melancholy, deep frozen melancholy, and then sheer joy and sugar overdose on the other hand. Where are you going to go? Maybe there isn't a middle ground. Maybe that's actually life. But Richard, what have you got lined up for us in the next exciting installment of the Natasha Wanton, Richard Fitzwilliams movie review show?
Well, I can reveal that one of them is The Little Mermaid. Disney.
Yeah. Again, you know, silence simply taken to actually sort of work through the whole process of why, because as we know, Richard Fitzwilliams never goes to see Disney animated movies. He waits until the live action versions are made before he'll go and see them. Even The Lion King, he had to go see the live action before even encountering the other side of things. We'll wrap up with a bit of Mambo Italiano, courtesy of Bette Midler, taking us into Howard Shore with, again, more of Pale Blue Eye. But for the moment, Sarah Huntley, Kathy Manso. Kathy, anything you'd like to share with us in terms of now that you're back from Ukraine? Was it a successful trip? Did you have a good time over there? Or was it a case of, yeah, we gave those Ruskies what for?
It was a successful trip. I did something every day. I interview pictures. I went to Bakhmut twice. A lot of different things I did, which you guys will just have to listen on my show. not to keep secrets.
At the heart of Ukraine,
like,
or indeed wait for the movie, which doubtless will feature Jane Fonda and Diane Keaton having a fun trip to the Ukraine with Mary Steenburgen as well. It could happen. To Kathy Manso, to Natasha Wanton, to Oliver Stanley, Sarah Huntley, and Richard Fitzwilliams, keep watching the movies.
A boy went back to Napoli because he missed the scenery, the native dancers and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong. Calabrese, do the mambo like a crazy. And hey, mambo, don't want a tarantella. Hey, mambo, no more a mozzarella. Hey, mambo, Italiano. Try an enchilada with a fish and bacalade. Hey, gumba, I love how you dance, rumba. But take some advice, paisano, learn how. Mambo.
quesadilla, get a happy in the pizza when you mambo Italiano. Shake a belly, shake a cause of love when you take me in. Hey, Giorgio, you don't have to go to school. Just make a little beef bambino, it's a like a vino. Kid, you good looking, but you don't know what's a cook until you hey, 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 hey. Shake a baby, shake a cause I love when you take me by the pizzeria. That's where I'm gonna be. Don't you tell your mama, mama's gonna tell her papa. There's another. You mixed up to Giuliano. It's so delicious. Everybody gonna get fish out of mambo.